How's a person supposed to make good decisions? I'm trying my best, but a little help from Jesus would be nice.
Many Christians have little to no confidence that they have Jesus overseeing their daily activities.
Yeah.
The result? They make decisions which are contrary to a life of peace. Today on Scandia Bible Church Podcast, Elder Keith Barker opens the Bible to the well-known Psalm 23, where we learn that, indeed, we are like sheep, often wanting our own way, even when it's the wrong way. But what we learn from God's Word is that we can at any time ask for wisdom, and He promises to guide and provide, just like a good shepherd. And welcome to the Scandia Bible Church Podcast for Sunday, August 20th, 2017. We'd like to invite you to visit our website at scandiabiblechurch.org, where you can learn more about us, access past sermons, and can obtain the sermon notes for today's message. And now, let's join Keith Barker as he delivers his message entitled, Following Jesus.
How many times during your week do you have an opportunity to stop and sit quietly before the Lord in our busy, busy, busy schedules? We're going to be in Psalm 23 this morning. I'm not even going to give you the page number. Psalm 23, title of our message is Following Jesus. years ago in England, the year was 1820, a little baby girl was born. Precious, beautiful little baby girl. Children, are you aware that you're a miracle? No, you aren't. You haven't walked the earth long enough. You have to spend years, maybe get some gray hair before you realize every day, every heartbeat is a precious gift. Life is a miracle of God. Children, you are indeed miracles. Well, this blessed little girl, Frances Jane, before she had finished her first year of life, lost her eyesight. She went blind. We don't know why. They probably didn't at the time. As she grew up, became a young woman, she had a heart for others. In England that time, there were many people living in the slums, living in the streets, and her heart went out to them, and she opened a rescue mission. Yes, this blind young woman opened a rescue mission. One day she had a financial need that she couldn't meet. She had thought of every possible way she could come up with the money. She absolutely had to have these funds, but she just couldn't come up with an answer, and so she prayed and gave it to the Lord and said, Lord, this is your work, not my work. I've done my absolute best here to try to pay this bill, but I just can't do it. And so she told the Lord how much money she needed to pay the bill. Shortly after that, knock on her door. So she went to the door and said, yes. And a man said, I have a gift for you. She says, oh, can I ask what it is? He says, well, it's some money. And she asked how much, and yes, it was the exact amount she had been praying for. And she said, I have no way of accounting for this except to believe that God, in answer to my prayer, put into the heart of this good man to bring me the money. She said, my first thought was, it's so wonderful the way the Lord leads me. And she sat down with pen and paper and wrote, all the way my Savior leads me. What have I to ask beside? Can I doubt His tender mercy, who through life has been my guide? Her first hymn. She became known as Fanny Crosby. She wrote 10 hymns, 100 hymns, 1,000 hymns. Children, Fanny Crosby wrote some 8,000 hymns, and if they were in one hymn book, you wouldn't be able to pick it up. Yes, I said 8,000 hymns. Remember the story in the Bible where the disciples said to Jesus, Why was this man born blind? Did his mother sin or his father sin? Jesus said, neither. Neither his mother nor his father sinned. Jesus said, but this happened so that the works of God might be displayed in him. Can you overlay that verse with the life of Fanny Crosby, who still today, 197 years later, is still ministering? We have, I think, six hymns in our hymn book by Fanny Crosby. What an amazing life. What a missionary she turned out to be. Well, there's always the danger that I stand up here and fill the room with sound and accomplish absolutely nothing. I've done it, I'm sure, many times. And I'm going to ask that you would pause with me as we commit the time to the Lord. Father, we know that by your Spirit, you can touch a life, either between these walls or by the wonder of the podcast out around the world. Is there someone today, Father, that you'd like to use what I have here on paper to draw someone closer to you? That's my desire, that you'd be glorified. And so I commit the time to you in your holy name. Amen. I'll read from the 23rd Psalm. Actually, the first five words are enough for an entire message. The Lord is my shepherd. You know, in hospitals, the verses that are asked for most often to pastors who come to visit hospitals, could you read the 23rd Psalm to me? Well, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. And when we think of the coming days in this troubled world, and oh my, what a troubled world we live in. We can know that the Lord will lead us, whatever the days may hold, wherever they may take us. We know that the Lord, like a shepherd, will lead us. John Oxman wrote, "Not for a single day can I discern the way, but this I surely know, who gives the day will show the way, so I securely go." An example of the Lord's leading, of course, is exhibited as the children of Israel spent 40 years in the desert. I quote from Exodus 13, it says, "By day the Lord went ahead of them in a pillar of cloud and to guide them, and at night by a pillar of fire to give them light so that they could travel by day or by night as a shepherd to his children." King David wrote in Psalm 139, "If I ascend up into heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. If I take the wings of the dawn and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there shall thy hand lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me." We're speaking this morning about following Jesus. David said it didn't matter whether he was ascending or descending. It didn't matter whether it was good times or bad times. David said, "The Lord is always leading me." And what will be coming to us in the days ahead is only known to God. But this we know, the Lord is our shepherd. He'll be with us each step of the way. So let's think about the Lord's leading by first considering the place our Lord assumes in Psalms 23, verses 2 and 3. "He leadeth me." In those words, we see the place the Lord takes in our lives. As our shepherd, as the captain of our souls, he goes before us, leading us each step of the way. He's not behind us, leaving us to face the storms of life by ourselves, but he's before us, leading the way, breaking trail, as it were. We find in John 10 a wonderful description of the Lord as a shepherd leading his people. And I read from John 10, 3 to 5. "To him the doorkeeper opens, and the sheep hear his voice. And he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. And when he brings out his own sheep, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. Yet they will by no means follow a stranger, but will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers. What an education I've gotten on the farm in these past years working with the sheep. I don't do well with the sheep. I try to drive them from the back with a loud voice. Go that way. No, go that way. You're bad sheep. No, no, oh, no, no, no. You get them. They're just like that. You're a bad, bad sheep, I tell them. If this was soccer, I'd take a red card out and say, you get a red card, you're in trouble. They just ignore me. And then Wendy comes and she says, come on, girls. Come on, girls. We're going this way. And the sheep follow her. Suddenly there's direction and there's order. And I stand there. How do you do that? John 10:27, my sheep hear my voice and I know them and they follow me. Jesus leads from the front. And the picture of the sheep brought out of the sheepfold has a key word. Notice carefully. It does not say that the Lord is behind his sheep driving them. He's before them leading them. And during the night, he stood watch over the sheep, and during the day, he serves as a guide. He goes before them. I thought the children might be interested if I brought a sheep here today, if I can get it to behave. Are you ready, children? Well, it's a very nice sheep. It's what? So, it's a very nice sheep, and I'm going to let you sit here and keep your eyes open and don't fall asleep. So, he's been freshly sheared. That's why his hair is so short. In C.W. Schlemming's book on the 23rd Psalm, he tells of an English tour guide. He was conducting a tour through the Holy Land, and he made the comment that shepherds in the Holy Land always lead their sheep. They never drive them. During the tour, they came to a flock of sheep that were being driven. One of the tourists said to the tour guide, I thought you said that was never done. That is so, said the guide. I think we ought to inquire. Stopping the man driving the sheep, the guide said, excuse me, Mr. Shepherd, why are you driving sheep? I thought it was never done. The man looked at him and said, shepherd, I'm not the shepherd. I'm taking them to market. I'm the butcher. Oh, what a terrible thought. You know, when the big truck comes to the farm, I make sure I'm not there. I just imagine they all got taken to a wonderful farm with lots of green pastures and everything, you know. All these precious little sheep. The Lord is our shepherd. He goes before us, leading us. And when we consider the place the Lord takes in our lives, we see that he is assuming certain responsibilities as our shepherd. He takes the responsibility for the demands on our life. And when we are left alone, when sheep are left alone, they are defenseless and directionless. They can't protect themselves. They don't have the ability to know which way to go to find their way home. They're absolutely dependent on the shepherd to take care of them. Without the shepherd, they would never find green pastures. They'd never find still waters to drink from. They'd eventually die of hunger and thirst. They can't survive without the shepherd. Some folks think they can make it through life without Jesus. William Bradbury wrote these words and put them to music. Savior, like a shepherd, lead us. Much we need thy tender care. In thy pleasant pastures, feed us. For our use, thy folds prepare. And how urgently we need the Lord our shepherd to lead us, and how much we need his tender care. And this journey of life is not without its demands. Many decisions are minor. Some decisions are huge. I have a longtime friend used to rent from me, has the ability of following up a bad decision with another bad decision. Ever known anyone like that? Finally, one day he came to me and he said, "Keith, how does a person make good decisions?" Absolute frustration. It's not complicated, folks. Jesus said in James 1:5, "If any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to you." Not complicated. For many people, their worry is not how to face the days ahead, but how are they going to get through this day? And things we face can leave us wondering, how can we cope? What are we going to do? How in the world are we ever going to make it? And the shepherd takes upon himself the responsibility of leading his sheep to green pastures and still waters. And as a shepherd, he's taken upon himself the responsibility of meeting every need of his sheep. He's taken upon himself the responsibility of caring for us, of providing for us, of seeing to it that our needs in life were met. Furthermore, we see that he takes the responsibility for the direction of our life. In verse 3, "He restoreth my soul, he leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake." At the beginning of each day, the shepherd leads his sheep out, and the direction the flock takes is determined by the shepherd. At the beginning of the day, he may lead them to green pastures, and then in the evening, beside still waters, either way, wherever they go, whatever they do, is determined by the shepherd. And when we understand that the Lord is assuming that role of leading us, we can realize that the direction of our life is not determined and chosen by us, but by the Lord, our shepherd. The path we take is determined by him. Where we go in life and even what happens to us is determined by the direction he takes in our life. His leading may take one down a path of good health, while he may lead another down a path of sickness. He may lead one down a path of prosperity and another down a path of adversity. There may be times when he leads us down paths marked by blessing, and other times down paths marked with heavy burdens. One day he may lead us into environments that are enjoyable, and yet next environments that are sorrowful. In any case, the paths of life are directed by the Lord. Folks, do you know the sovereignty of God? Monty or I should do a message specifically towards the sovereignty of God. It's just a foundation stone for who you are in Christ. Here's an interesting story. 1862, Pastor Gilmore in Philadelphia, preaching in the First Baptist Church of Philadelphia, was speaking on the same topic I am this morning, the 23rd Psalm. Again and again, Pastor Gilmore leaned on the fact that the Lord leads us like a shepherd leads his flock. It was the time of the Civil War, and things were depressing and dark. Pastor had on his heart that the congregation needed to know that God hadn't abandoned them. He was still leading, even in the dark times. Well, at the end of that service, he sat down with his deacon. Congregation had left, and on the back of his sermon notes, he wrote, "He leadeth me, O blessed thought, O words with heavenly comfort fraught, whate'er I go, wherever I be, still 'tis God's hand that leadeth me. He leadeth me, he leadeth me by his own hand, he leadeth me, his faithful follower I would be, for by his hand he leadeth me." Now the follow-up story on this is that that church, First Baptist Church in Philadelphia, was torn down. And on that property was built the United Gas Improvement Building. Boring United Gas Improvement Building. But if you're ever in Philadelphia, you'll find a bronze plaque built into that building with three words, "He leadeth me." Someone wanted to honor that on that property, that hymn was given to the church. How blessed is the thought that no matter what the course of our life, at the present or in the days ahead, it's according to our Lord's leading as our shepherd. He's taking the responsibility for both the demand on our life and the direction of our life. The psalmist said in Psalms 37:23, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. Secondly, notice with me the purpose our Lord assures. One of the ways in which we can face the days ahead is by being confident that regardless of the direction our Lord may lead us, He always has a purpose and a plan. However He leads and wherever He leads is never without purpose. And thus we can be sure that where He leads is for our good. Whenever that shepherd leads those sheep out, the direction he takes is always for the good of the sheep. Mr. C.W. Schlemming writes, "In the morning he leads them out to the fold of the fold into the meadow that are fresh with dew. At noonday, when the sun is high, he leads them into the shelter of a rock or some other place of coolness, thus bringing them protection. In the evening, he leads them on again, bringing them into the fold, and then becomes the door of the fold, keeping the wolf and bear at bay. Everything the shepherd does is for the good of the sheep. Every path he takes his sheep, it is with their good in mind. We must never forget that whatever path the Lord may take us, it is for our good, for our best." And there are certainly times when we may question the Lord's leading in our life, but we are assured that it is for our good. Mr. Herbert Lockler, "The best of saints do not know what is best for them, because at their best they are fallible. It is not in them to direct their steps aright." Again, perhaps you have to have some gray hair and having walked the earth hand in hand with the Lord for many years before you get to that place where that still small voice is a commanding voice in your life, as God said, "This is the way, walk ye in it." In other words, we don't always know what's best of our life, but the shepherd knows. Remember my friend who said, "How does a person make good decisions?" It's easy, folks. Follow the shepherd. Many times I've been encouraged by Romans 8:28, "For we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to His purpose." And the all things of life include the good things and the bad things. Yet God assures us that they all work together in harmony for our good. It's been said that what happens in life is not an accident, but an appointment. The events and experiences of life, whatever they may be, will all be filtered through God's love for you, His plan carefully shaped with a purpose. A.T. Piercing said, "It is in the deepest darkness of the starless night that men learn to hold on to the hidden hand most tightly, and how that hand holds them, that He sees where we do not and knows the way He takes, and though the way to us may be a roundabout, it's the right way." Sometimes it takes darkness before you learn to follow His guidance. Back in the 70s, I was in the mountains of Irian Jaya with another missionary, Paul Klein, and we were tasked with taking a motorcycle, a dirt bike, from one mountain station to the other, which meant down a steep, across the canyon, across the river, up another one, across, boop, down another one, boop. about 5,000, 6,000 foot elevation, somewhere in there. Well, we were over halfway there when the motorcycle stopped. Well, what do you do out there in the middle of nowhere? So we decided we would just lean the motorcycle against one of the Donnie's huts. They're made of wood. They're about that big around. They have a thatched roof. We could spend the night with them. They would welcome us. But the heating system they have is not user-friendly for Tujans. You see, they have no smokestack. They build a fire in the middle, and the smoke just fills the place, and it's the smoke that keeps you warm. They grow up that way, not user-friendly for missionaries. So we decided we better walk to Carabaga, which was the main station in the mountains. So we started hiking, but it was further than we thought, and pretty soon it got dark. And there was no light pollution in the mountains out there in the primitive areas. I mean, when it got really dark. The trail we were on was along the side of a hill. And the Donnies had walked it so many times that it was dug in a little bit. And I remember walking along, I'd take one step here, and then I'd kick the top side of the trail. Take the next step and kick the top side of the trail. And Paul and I are going along like that, trying to find our way in the darkness to Carabaga. And suddenly here's this voice that says, Bagamanda Tuan Jalan Jalan. What are you doing, missionary, out here walking around in the dark? You see, this Donnie grew up there. I couldn't see him. He could have been right here. They're absolutely, you know, dark themselves. What are you doing out here walking around? He had no problems. We finally stumbled our way into Carabaga. Pearson said, it's in the deepest darkness of the starless night that men learn to hold on to the hidden hand most tightly. Paul and I, that night, were hanging on to the hand of God. Mr. R.L. Moyer states in his book on the 23rd Psalm, all of his leading is to the end that the name of the Lord be glorified. And he goes on to say, when a sheep strays, the shepherd always goes after it himself. He'll leave the flock with a keeper and go through the woods and rocky mountains in the heat of the summer or in the cold of the winter to bring the stray sheep back to the fold. Why does a shepherd take this trouble? Why abandon the flock for just one? The answer is he does it for his reputation. You see, as shepherds gather together at the close of the day to talk over the happenings of the day, for days or months or even years afterwards, it would be mentioned as a disgrace to any shepherd who permitted a stray lamb to perish without going in search of it. On the other hand, if he exposed himself to great danger to rescue a lamb, that would be mentioned to his credit. Others would praise him as a great shepherd. Whatever God does in our life, the ultimate purpose is it will be for his credit. He will be praised, he'll be magnified, he'll be glorified. And my, oh my, he always goes after the lost sheep. No other farm animal requires more attention and handling and direction than sheep. And if they're left by themselves, they'll follow the same path until it becomes a rut. Coming down from the upper field, one path walked down the grass, and the next one sheep walked down the grass, the next behind it. They've walked it so long, they've got a dirt path. It's about that wide. There's lovely grass here and lovely grass here. No, they have to walk in a dirt path. They've walked it so long that it's becoming a rut. And this winter, the water is going to run down that dirt path, and it'll be a rut. And you know what? They'll still walk in the rut. But there's green grass right here or right here. No, pardon me, I'm going to walk in the rut. They aren't real smart. The Lord knows our behavior patterns and life habits are so much like sheep that he allows us to see the parallels Isaiah 53, all we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord has laid upon him the iniquity of us all. We desire to follow our own fancies, our own dreams, and turn to our own ways. And this we do deliberately, repeatedly, continually, even to our own disadvantage. There's something almost terrifying about the destructive nature and self-determination of human beings. I think of the times when I'm working as a carpenter and I hit my finger with a hammer. I say, oh, that was real smart. You put your hand up there and then you... Just as sheep will blindly, habitually, stupidly follow one another along the same trails until they leave ruts that erode into gullies, so we humans cling to the same dumb habits that we have seen bring ruin to other lives. Turning to my own ways simply means doing what I want. Proverbs 16:25, there's a way that seems right to a man, but its end leads in death. One day on the farm, I showed up. We have a feeding stand about that long and slats on the front, and it's about that high. So when the sheep walk up to it, you know, they're chest high to eat the hay. One day I show up, and there's a lamb who decided that he needed to be under that stand. It's on a slight slope, so one end of the stand has an opening like that, and then it gets smaller and smaller. Now I show up, and that lamb has managed to get himself wiggling all the way through there until he's got the other end. He's got his head sticking on the dirt and a 2x4 in the back of his neck. There he sits. Can't go backwards, can't go forward. So I thought, I'm going to rescue this lamb. So I tried to drag him backwards. That wasn't going to work. I tried to reach under, get his legs, and roll him so I just have feet so I could pull him out the side. That wasn't going to work. I went and got a shovel finally and dug a ditch along the side and pulled him into the ditch. You know, that lamb casually stood up, walked away like, I don't know what the big deal was. I didn't have a problem there. Don't know why Mr. Keith had to come and mess that up for me. Yeah, no thank you, no backward look. What a picture of people who have walked a path so long that it's a rut. Yeah. What a picture of unsaved. Haven't got a chance without Jesus coming and saying, I need to help you, and you don't even know you're in trouble. They've fallen in love with their rut. They say, I don't really need help. I don't know why you keep telling me about Jesus. I don't need help. Perhaps I spend too many hours on the internet. That's my choice. I like alcohol. It helps me to sleep better. These pills make me happy. It's not a rut. It's not a problem. Yeah. Just like that lamb that was jammed under the feeding stand saying, I've chosen this rut. I love my rut. It's my rut. Are there good ruts? Oh, there are wonderful ruts. I have a rut I absolutely love. I wouldn't take money for it. Rarely does the sun come up without finding me sitting in my chair with my Bible, my cat, and my coffee. It's a wonderful rut. I highly recommend it. Greet the Lord at the beginning of the day. Settle into that rut and fall in love with it. You want to be led in paths of righteousness? It's a decision that you make. Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. The stubborn, self-willed, proud, self-sufficient sheep that persists in walking its old paths and grazing on its old stale grass will end up a bag of bones. And the world we live in is full of such folks. Broken homes, broken hearts, broken lives, twisted personalities. And again, what a contrast. When he leads, he provides rest, refreshment, restoration, and righteous paths. He gives enjoyment to life. The nature of our shepherd is one of care and guidance and divine love. He leads me. It means gently leads. He doesn't drive his sheep. He speaks, we hear his gentle voice, and we follow. My sheep hear my voice, he said. I know them, and they follow me. Shepherd guides in paths that are well-worn paths, proven paths that bring sheep safely to their destination. Jesus' paths are always straight. He doesn't unnecessarily tire out his sheep. He knows what lies ahead, omniscience. And simply put, my shepherd guides me along the correct path in my daily walk. The only barrier to blessings of being led by the shepherd, the only barrier is lack of trust in the shepherd. Remember the man in Luke 9, Jesus said, follow me. And he said, Lord, I'll follow you, but he wanted to negotiate. Oh, folks, don't go there. You can trust the shepherd. Remember Frank Sinatra's song where he sings, I did it my way. Don't go there, folks. It's not good. Just follow Jesus with a consecrated heart. And when the day comes when we dwell in the house of the Lord forever, I believe we'll sing with Fanny Crosby, all the way my Savior leads me, oh, the fullness of his love, perfect rest to me is promised in my Father's house above. When my spirit clothed immortal wings its flight to realms of day, this my song through endless ages. Jesus led me all the way. This my song through endless ages. Jesus led me all the way. Let's close in prayer. Father of God, wonder of wonders, that you would pay a price for such as we. My, oh my. Thank you for your unspeakable love. I pray for any here who are in a bad rut. They might have your understanding and realize you have pleasant paths to lead them. So thank you for our time, Father. Bless you for your goodness to us in Christ's name. Amen.
Well, that wraps up our sermon for this week. Thanks again for joining us. We'd love to hear from you. Drop us a line through our contact page on scandinavbiblechurch.org and let us know where you're listening from and how our church family can pray for you. As a reminder for your listening convenience, you can also catch Scandinavian Bible Church podcasts on iTunes, on Stitcher Radio, and on Google Play. Scandinavian Bible Church is located in the beautiful Northwest in Paulsboro, Washington. If you ever find yourself in our area, we'd love to meet you. So until next week, for all of us here at Scandinavian Bible Church, may God richly bless you.